702.
Befilo is on Twitter
at
Mpakanyane.
And it's time to chat to Nikki Bosch, who's finally in studio. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning.
Hey, so we're talking about how to let go of school leavers who are going off to university. And I was having a conversation right along these lines with some neighbors of mine this week. But, you know, how do parents plan for this? Because I think, what do we call it? Empty nest syndrome, you know? But at some point, you have to start saying goodbye to the kids as you dispatch them off into, you know, the rest of their lives. It's a tough one, huh?
It is a tough one, and it's highly, highly emotive. I put up a blog about 48 hours ago,
yeah,
about letting go of our school leavers into their first big step into adult life, which for many is going off to university and maybe university outside of town.
Yes.
So away from here. And for a lot of those kids who were not at boarding school, mm-hmm, which is the majority of them,
yeah,
this will be a big thing, a really, really big thing.
Yeah.
Unlike my second child, who chose to go to boarding school and be there as a weekly boarder for 4 years,
yeah,
and said to me when he was 16, "You know, Mum, I'm never coming home again," which nearly broke my heart, of course, at the time.
Oh,
he says,
goodness,
"You know, I've already left home, so I'm not, just get it straight in your head. I'm not coming home to live permanently ever again."
Oh, a young man, and who of knows course, his mind.
He's back regularly,
yeah,
and loves home and loves family, but got a taste of independence.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that our role as parents is essentially to let our children go. And after this blog went live, I started getting messages from people, even friends who know me, saying, "You've got me blubbing. I'm crying reading this blog. I'm crying because it's so real." And lots of people have got back to me saying, "This is so real. We're going through this as we're letting our kids go."
So what are the considerations and what are people grappling with? Because, I mean, I guess there's so many layers, right? It's, have I prepared this child enough for life, for everything? But then it's also just, you know, the practical things that you just won't be around for. And maybe you think, if I'm not there all the time, does, you know, am I no longer useful? Does my child no longer need me?
You know what? We love to be needed. Actually, we completely underestimate our desire to be needed, especially mothers.
Yeah.
And we are kind of tied to our children through the umbilical cord still. Not quite the umbilical cord, but around your solar plexus.
Mm.
There is this germ plasma that connects us. And we need to be letting our children go a little bit like letting out the strings of a kite, little by little by little. So the questions running through people's minds right now, whose kids are stepping out either yesterday or Monday, they're off to university.
Mm.
Things like, what are their personal organization skills like?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been chasing after them to get them up, out of bed, dressed, fed, and out the door with all their stuff for all these years. Will they be able to do that by themselves?
Mm-hmm.
For some kids who are not in a residential hostel where there will be cooking done for them, how are they going to manage, you know, the grocery shopping and the cooking and the cleaning? You know, for some kids, this will be the first time they will clean their own toilet. And that's quite a big thing. And what about if they run out of clothes because they forgot to wash them? Or what if they're running around in unironed clothes?
Yeah.
Because these are things that mothers often think about. What if they drink too much?
Yeah.
Because the first couple of weeks now, it's O week. Mm. Around the country in universities, it's O week.
And freshers bashers of abound.
So orientation week. And there's going to be a lot of partying. There are going to be some very late nights, maybe no sleep at all. So these kids are going to be testing their boundaries. You know, they're going to be pushing. They're going to be seeing how long they can stay awake for. How much they can drink before it's too much.
Yeah.
They're going to be making new friends. They're going to be connecting with old friends. And they're also going to have to manage their money because everything I've just mentioned costs money.
Yeah.
So whether it is getting your laundry done at the laundrette, whether it's buying your groceries, whether it is having enough money to party, whether it's having enough money to fill your car up, hopefully, parents have given their children an allowance and have had a conversation with their kids about what that allowance has to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right through to, what agreements do you have around what if you fail a subject?
Yeah.
Is your child going to have to pay for the failed subject, or are you going to foot the bill? And for every family, this could be slightly different.
That is a lovely incentive to make sure kids don't party too much.
Well, you see, this is what it means to live in the adult world. So yes, we want our kids to really enjoy their time away and to have fun and to have a student life and all of those things. But they also need to understand the value of what they're getting. And
absolutely,
it's a really good exercise to sit down with your children and draw up a budget. And I did that with my children over the past couple of weeks, and I've done it many times, but we did it again. So if you're living at home, this is what it costs. I currently am renting, so and don't own my own home at the moment. So this is what the rent costs divided by the number of people who live here.
Yeah.
So we put that amount next to each person. This is how much the grocery bill is divided by the number of people. How many tanks of petrol? And you go through everything. Cell phone bills. You also need to remember, and here's a tip for parents, cell phones get stolen and lost at university on a regular basis. Do your children understand every time you make an insurance claim that there might be an excess payment? I even included all of that in the budget, and it actually is quite astounding how much each child costs.
Absolutely.
And then what are you responsible for paying for? So yes, I will pay for your university education. I will pay for all your books. I will give you this allowance for which needs to cover your entertainment, your groceries, your toiletries. You might even go one step further and say, into your account, I'm going to put your cell phone money for your airtime, your data, your tank of petrol, etc. And if you run out, you run out.
Tough luck. What I'm curious about, Nikki, is for those parents, and I like the idea of sitting down now and doing that budget and making sure that a child gets a grasp of what exactly this all costs and the value, right, of this education, because it's not just going to university and tuition, but there's so much more that goes into this thing. For parents maybe where this kind of independence and setting off to university is 2 years away, what should those parents be thinking about and looking at and starting to inculcate in their kids now? Because to clean your first bathroom at varsity, I'm thinking, oh, that's a stretch. We'd been cleaning and cooking, and irrespective of, your social sort of standing and status, those are life skills you must have. So, chores, what are they for, except if not to teach some of those skills, right?
100%.
So how to start thinking about introducing those skills now? Because a human being that can't cook and feed themselves,
And I'm
trying not to sound well, duh-ish.
Yes, but this is a really interesting point that you raise. Because many, many children start melting down, not during a week, over the next week or two or three, but in about a month or two's time, when they realize that they actually haven't had that grounding, it all becomes too much. And private schools get psychologists in to talk to parents about the fact that the kids are melting down in the first couple of months of university. Kids who come from very affluent backgrounds, often worse, because they have had help running around cleaning up after them. And in fact, many of the parents who've responded to this blog are parents with kids in grade 11 or 12, who it struck a chord for them, because in this blog I'm saying, yes, it is the toilet, it is cooking, it is all those things. So the whole thing for me about life skills is really important. It's called passing on the baton of responsibility.
Absolutely.
And this is where independence, resourcefulness, and resilience starts in the home. It doesn't start the day you leave home.
Yeah.
And if you want to feel confident about your child's ability to live without you, best you be passing on those life skills early. And it starts even in the preschool. So I have a talk that I do for primary school parents called Let Go and Let Grow. And it's all about hands-on confidence. It's all about being able to wash up the dishes, dry up the dishes, empty a dishwasher, pack and stack away, about taking responsibility for putting your dirty clothes in the dirty clothes basket,
100%.
Hanging up your towel. A lot of these kids will be sharing a room.
Yeah.
Maybe for the first time.
Think of somebody else now.
Think of somebody else. Yeah. So are you leaving your towel around? Are you leaving your dirty clothes on the floor? Are you leaving your dirty dishes in the sink? Mm. You know, it's about learning how to share space and learning how to plan your time. So time management, when you have to cook and clean for yourself and get out of your room and get to your lectures on time, is important. And that's one of the questions going through parents' heads right now is, will my kids pitch to lectures?
Yeah.
Will they actually do that stuff that they've got to do in order to pass that degree?
I'm hoping we can fit in time to do a toy review. I'm not sure if we will. But I just want to build on what you're saying right now. That sense of agency, right?
Yes.
Which means this is my life. This is my time. What I squander, I lose, not my parents. But also agency. I was reading an article about same thing. A psychologist was saying what she gets a lot of calls from parents about is how do I make sure or help my daughter going to university, and I'm worried about things like campus rape. I'm worried about, you know, so things like that. Where we start to now talk about agency, but also the people around you, consent, both
yes.
for girls and boys, right? Understanding all those things, relationships, and how to be, how not to do any harm when you are finally free and out there in the world. Yeah.
So I call this scenario planning. Mm. We need to have serious conversations with our kids around what if this happens? What if you're faced with XYZ situation? What might you do? And my safety mantra for children online and offline is one mind, one body, one reputation. You only have one mind.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you feed it. You only have one body. No one's going to give you another one. Be careful where you take your body. Mm-hmm. Be careful how you share your body.
Mm.
And look after it, protect it. So are you having those conversations, as you said, around what if somebody touches you inappropriately? What if they invade your space?
Mm.
How do your kids understand how to say no?
Mm.
And teach boys that if a girl says no, it's no from the first no, not from the third or the fourth or the fifth no.
It's not your job to convince her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for girls to be empowered that if they say no the first time, it must be respected. A lot of it is mindset.
Mm.
It's a little bit like when you're at school, you know where drugs are sold and you know who sells them. There are kids who get approached and there are kids who never, ever get approached by the drug pushers because it's a kind of a sense of being. It's what you emanate. It's the energy that comes off you. Can people mess with you or not?
Mm.
And it's that real state of I own myself and I'm here to stand up for myself and look after myself. That's my right.
Mm. And that's lifelong work. So it's unfortunately
absolutely.
You can't do it, you know, 2 months before they go off to varsity. It is lifelong work and it's not always easy.
Okay, so here's the other thing. So if something happens, what are you going to do?
Mm.
And I wrote in this article, so what if your kid has a bumper bashing in the parking lot and they're not in Johannesburg? Do they know the steps to take? The fundamental life skills, getting the other person's ID number, take a photograph of their ID, their driver's license, take a photograph of the car registration, the damage to both vehicles. You need to find out if they're insured. You need to go straight to the police or as soon as possible within 24 hours and you need to go and report a case. Even if it's a hit and run and someone just bumped your car and it's going to be an insurance claim and you don't know who they are because the car disappeared.
Yeah.
Go to the police, get a case number. Otherwise, mum and dad cannot claim from insurance. These are things kids don't understand.
So many conversations.
Adult life, you know.
So many conversations. Now, can we do this in 2 minutes and have a chat?
Of course.
Around the toy review? I'm keen to take a look at this one because I know a precious little girl somewhere who would absolutely love this.
Absolutely. So the toy review for this week is the Melissa and Doug Mosaic Sticker Pad. So we've been talking to parents of older children. This is now for parents of primary school children.
Mm-hmm.
And it is absolutely awesome. It's called Safari. That's the theme. Matching number coded stickers to complete the pictures. There are 12 scenes and 12 pages of stickers. And it's almost like a combination of puzzling and a sticker book.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. So this is definitely for the child who knows their numbers right up to about 50.
That's nice.
So it's not your grade R.
Yeah.
It's definitely your grade 3, 4, 5 and up. And I even loved this on holiday.
But it's, yeah, and it's quite engaging. I mean, quite a lot of pieces in each, on each page. And it's not, yeah, they're quite complex as well.
It's problem solving.
Yeah.
It's actually problem solving and spatial planning. Sort of like building a puzzle, but they're not puzzle pieces, so they don't have interlocking male and female parts. So you really have to get your spatial planning right, your directionality right. And wow, look how rewarding these are. Look at this zebra. It's complicated. One of these would take you about an hour to do because you've got to find the numbers. Nothing's in corresponding order.
Yeah.
So visual memory as well. I've got piece number one. Where is number one on this picture? I've got to find space number one and space 49.
Yeah.
So I think that this is one of those activities that you can do with your kids after school, or, you know, when your child needs a break before homework. You've just come home, they've had lunch, or maybe it's later in the afternoon. They can sit down and do 5 or 10 minutes of this, then do some homework, come back and do some more, and finish it in a week's time. It doesn't matter.
I might polish it off before the kid does.
That's important, that we actually sometimes do things together
and
help each other and have fun together. And then it's just the reward.
Yeah.
These are so beautiful that being on your fridge or on your child's cupboard door, they're going to be stunned. And a real work of art.
And a nice little price point, right?
Oh, absolutely. 115 Rand on takealot.com at the moment. Also available in your independent toy stores.
Okay, fantastic. Nikki Bush, thank you so much. The title of that article?
The title of the article is How to Let Go When Your Child Leaves University. You can find it on Nikki Bush on Facebook as well as on nikkibush.com.
Fantastic. We will catch up again next week.
Super.